Welcome back in. Final hour of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Elijah Campbell here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And we are pleased to go to our 102.5 The Game phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com and welcome in legendary Vanderbilt baseball coach Tim Corbin. Vanderbilt taking on Tennessee in a weekend series coming up this weekend in Knoxville. Tim, thanks so much for taking time to join us today. We appreciate it.
Well, thank you, Robbie. I appreciate it as well.
So, Tim, what's it been like? Just we'll get into the series and just the minutiae coming up here in a minute about the season itself. But I just want to get your thoughts on, you know, after everything that we've gone through and no season last year and, you know, battling through the pandemic as a society and trying to be the head coach of a team, navigating some young people through this time. What's it been like for you and for your players just simply to get back on the field this year and be able to play baseball?
Well, I think that's the primary function is just try to get back to school in August and September, which we did, and carry on with a fall semester in a way that seemed like normal, as close to normal as was what we've done in the past. I thought it was primary for the new kids and certainly to get the older kids back who were cut off in March of a season. It was important for them to get back in the flow. And I think everyone would say that about everyday life. It's good to get your students back into school and your children back into school. So I felt the same way. And now that we're into March and April and carrying on in the middle of April with a season, I think we're very fortunate. You don't take anything for granted. I think last year proved that to us. And now that we're in the middle of it and starting to move closer towards May, it's starting to feel right again. You're starting to see more seats being covered up with humans, and you're starting to see the, you know, the TV a little bit more with people in the stands at the major league level. So this is a good thing. It's a good thing for a lot of us.
So Tim, we talked, I guess it was a few months ago about, you know, your team and talking about, obviously, everyone knows your 1-2 punch, you know, on the mound are special, although maybe even this year has exceeded what anyone could have reasonably expected from those two guys. But you were, I don't know if concerned is a word, but you were curious about how some of your, you know, hitters were going to respond to SEC play, to the grind of this conference. I mean, would you say at this point overall you're pleasantly surprised by that? And what would you say would be, I guess, the most surprising aspect of this team so far?
Well, I'm cautious just because I realize that as you grow deeper into this SEC season, there's more information out there. So pitching coaches get paid a lot of money to view film, break down hitters, and hitting coaches do the same. So there's a piece of this where as we get deeper in, you're going to start to see the players inside the conference who are a little bit older, who are a little bit more knowing, and you're going to start to see the younger guys, too, grow with time. But I just think it's the process of going through an SEC season. We've started off well from an outcome standpoint, a record standpoint, but I just am very cautious about where we're moving because I do know that confidence is very fleeting inside this conference, and it's your ability to, I think, recover yourself every weekend, regardless of what you did, because you understand that an opponent such as Tennessee or the opponent last week with Georgia, they're completely different, and each team plays differently against another opponent. Nothing stays the same. So I think, you know, we've built a foundation so far, but we still have such a long way to go. And I think for a lot of teams, too, as well as you're playing or maybe you're not playing as well. I think every coach is a little bit cautious and thinking that, okay, let's just get to the next week. As we get to the next week, we'll approach that. Once we're done with it, we'll move forward. It's tough to look at it as a whole because when you do, it's like eating a whale. It's just one bite at a time because it can be overwhelming.
Vanderbilt baseball coach Tim Corbin on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Tim, I'm curious, from your vantage point, what stood out to you this season about Carter Young and everything he brings to the table for your group?
Well, I think you started to see some defensive abilities last year when we had him on the field as a freshman. He moves very well. He moves gracefully. He's got very good hands. He's got a lot of confidence at the defensive position. And I think when you bring someone in to play shortstop, you think to yourself, okay, he can play shortstop, he can do it at a higher level, and he someday could probably stick at shortstop. And he's one of those kids. We've had a lot of nice shortstops here and been fortunate to coach them. But this young man has abilities defensively that are ingrained in him prior to coming here, and he just gets better because with strength and confidence, his game will grow. And then the offensive side of things, too, is it complements his defense in a nice way in the fact that he's a switch hitter. He does have a little bit of power in his bat, and that piece is growing, too. So I think, you know, 12 months from now, 24 months from now, you're going to see a guy that might have a chance to make some money at this game. And he certainly is his confidence is contained. He's a fine kid to coach. He really is. There's very low maintenance to this young man, but he gives us great strength up the middle.
Tim, was there any, you know, like overconfidence taking Georgia lightly involved in last weekend, or is that dismissive of how Georgia played?
No, I don't think it's dismissive, and I think, Joe, it's always something that you have to look over with young kids because, you know, they don't know. I mean, they go into a situation and they think, okay, we've been having these positive outcomes, we've been winning. That's always going to be the way it is. I'm not saying that that's in their mind, or I'm not saying it, you know, either way, but I think we walk a very fine line here in terms of how we approach things, because whether we lost that series or won the series, the communication inside the inner circle is always the same. It's very professional. It's the boys do a nice job of getting down here and training in a very mature way, both individually and as a group. But I thought last week we just got to a point where we faced a team that was rolling on all cylinders, and we were fortunate to get one, to be honest with you. If Leiter and Maldonado don't pitch the way they do, then that series could have turned upside down for certain. That was a good team that we played, and the way they looked did not match what they presented to other teams prior to us. So I think it's typical SEC stuff. I think you get into a situation and, you know, you look at a team sometimes and we don't talk about their record. We talk about approaching them, but that was a case in point where their record did not match the personality that showed up last weekend, and they put it to us, and you have to give them a lot of credit.
Tim, you brought up Leiter, and look, from the outside looking in, it's obvious to see the talent that Leiter and that Rocker have, but you've spoken at length about just the people that those two are and the people that you like to bring into your program. As you're establishing your program and as you've built it to the level that it is now, how important has that aspect been, the process of bringing in not only obviously talented players and players that can help you win on the field, but also the right people along with it, the mix of finding that? What's that been like for you? How challenging is that to do as a college head coach?
Well, it's challenging because discovering what a person really is sometimes difficult, particularly at the age of 14, 15, or 16. But I think you can start to see how they interact with their parents, how they start to interact with their teammates, how they communicate about the coaches in their life. I think once you have deeper discussions with young kids, you can start to see what they prioritize and how they're organized mentally. And I know I mentioned that yesterday in a press conference. I think Joe heard it, but I think that's the piece that is primary to having any type of consistency here on campus, whether it's academic or athletic. And I think once you get a couple, Robbie, then you start to understand that you want to replicate those types of personalities, because if they're organized mentally, then they get down to your area and they're on task. They know what they want to do. I'm not saying they're military in any way or robots, but they have a good time, but they also understand the lines of what they need to do, how they need to do it. It's just like riding, you know, driving a car with a grown-up son or daughter, and you just trust their abilities to handle the trip, handle the car, and get you from point A to point B. And if you get a good group of kids, like we did in 19, that are that way, they really take over the environment. They really take over the team. You just put some parameters in place, but after that, then they start taking care of the locker room and the communication outside of the locker room, because I'm a big believer that leadership happens off the field. It really does. It's how the kids communicate. It's who they surround themselves with and what they do. And if they're doing that in unison, then you've got a chance to have some consistency on the field.
Tim, do you have any extra – I know how you approach things and how your program approaches things in terms of, first of all, you have – tough opponents all the time and opponents who are gunning for you guys, but is there any extra juice at all? Just the fact that Tennessee has done what they've done here with Tony Vitello, and the fact that you guys have this big kind of hyped top five matchup this weekend.
Well, I think you the kids feel it, the you know, on both sides, they anticipate it. And I think it's anytime you go into a series, whether it's LSU or Tennessee, it's the name recognition, the resume of success that a team has, it just heightens the focus for everyone, everyone included, and that's staff members, players, coaches, what have you. So I think that piece is good. And I think the location of where you play, whether it's Nashville or Knoxville, brings in the ancillary pieces of competition, which is the fans themselves. And I think it's nice. I mean, Tony's done a wonderful job there. I mean, you could see that coming. That wasn't a surprise to me, because when I've talked about him, he's just that guy that you knew that once he got himself into a program and it was his, that he would follow a similar path to what he did as an assistant. And he always took care of the programs that he was a part of as an assistant coach. And I admired how hard he works and what type of coach he is. So he just, what he's doing with that group right now is it's not a surprise. They're a very good team, but what they are is they're very competitive. And I think competition brings out other competitive fibers of other teams. And it's like iron sharpens iron. We're going to make Tennessee better. Tennessee's going to make Vanderbilt better. And I think when that happens, your conference just continues to grow. And, you know, at the end of the year, I think the reward for teams in this conference is the ability to leave your conference and then see how much you've grown as a team to play other schools, to play at the end of the year.
Vanderbilt baseball coach Tim Corbin has been our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. Tim, it's always a pleasure to speak with you. Thank you. Thank you for taking time to join us this morning, man. We really appreciate it.
Likewise. I appreciate it as well. Thank you both.
Absolutely. Thanks, Tim Corbin has been our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. Vanderbilt taking on Tennessee this weekend in a massive, massive series in Knoxville. Top five matchup. I'm looking forward to this. This is going to be part of weekend winners coming up next as well.
I see. I know you guys are excited about going to Cincinnati, and that'll be great. I'm pumped. I'm like leaving the show Friday and driving to Knoxville.
Yeah, buddy.
So I've never been to that stadium, and I feel like it's going to be – I know it's not full crowd, but from what I've been able to gather on TV, it's some rowdy stuff going on.
Yeah.
And I think this is going to be an emotional, intense, and really excellent series.
Absolutely. When we come back, it's time for Weekend Winners, a special Thursday edition of Weekend Winners coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. And it is time for a special Thursday edition of Weekend Winners here on Robbie and Rex Road. Both Ryan Porth and myself will be out of town tomorrow, so doing Weekend Winners today here on the program. Joe Rex Road, let's get a quick standings update on the competition here in Weekend Winners.
It was not an especially good week last week.
No, it was not.
I did not follow up my 6-0. Let me repeat that. 6-0. Sorry.
Just totally into a trance.
What the hell just happened?
I don't know. I followed that up with a 2-4.
Okay.
And my first lock miss, so that was pretty stinky. Yeah. Porth had the best week, 3-3, 3 points, also missed his lock. You went 1-5, 1 point, missed your lock.
Back-to-back horrible weeks. Just horrible.
So at this point, the standings are 26. I'm in first, 26-16, which I'm still happy with overall, 32 points, 6-1 on my locks. Porth is 24-18, 27 points, 3-4 in his locks. You are 16-26, 18 points, 2-5 on your locks.
So bad.
But hey, Who knows? You know, you hey, ugh. If you have a week like 6-0,
maybe so.
Yes. Then you never know.
All right, so let's get things rolling here on today's version of Weekend Winners. Elijah Campbell in for Ryan Porth. Elijah, we start with you / Porth. The Predators taking on the Hurricanes tonight. Going the money line on this. Who we have in this matchup between the Predators and the Hurricanes?
It looks like Porth has the Preds.
All righty.
On Thursday.
So the Preds on Thursday, continuing the hot streak. They beat Carolina tonight, according to Ryan Porth. Joe Rexroad, Preds and Hurricanes tonight in Raleigh. Who do you have?
Yeah, I'm wondering with this Tomasino thing. You got me thinking about like this another injury. What's going on? You know, I'm gonna go with the hot team. I'm gonna go with the Preds.
I like it. Playing really well right now. Give me the Canes tonight. I think the Canes get it done. I think the Predators play really well, but I think the Canes find a way to win in overtime tonight. So I will take the Hurricanes in tonight's game against the Predators. The Predators play the Hurricanes again coming up on Saturday. Joe Rexroad, we begin with you. Saturday's matchup between the Predators and the Hurricanes. Who are you taking?
Well, I can't pick the Preds to sweep the series, right?
I mean, you can.
I mean, no one says you can't.
I mean, no one says I technically can't, but I can't, right?
Hey, they're hot, man. They're vibing.
Yeah, I'll go Canes Saturday.
All right. Joe going with the Canes on Saturday. Give me the Preds on Saturday. I think they find a way to get it done on Saturday. They play well tonight. The result doesn't follow. They get the result on Saturday. Give me the Predators to stay vibing on Saturday. Elijah Campbell / Ryan Porth. Predators and Hurricanes on Saturday.
On Saturday, Ryan Porth has the Canes. Okay. So all of us, I guess, have them splitting?
Yes. Everyone has them splitting.
Just different games.
You got a chance to make a move here.
I do. We'll see what happens.
You got a chance to make it. Porth and I are exactly the same. You're exactly the opposite of us.
Probably very good news for both of y'all. Vanderbilt and Tennessee taking on this weekend in Knoxville. We had Tim Corbin on in the last segment. Now, there have been years where a Vanderbilt-Tennessee baseball series discussion would be laughable because Vanderbilt would just smoke them. That is not the case this year. You're talking about two top five teams. Tennessee has played really well. They're at home. Joe Rexroad, we begin with you. Who wins this series this weekend? Three games between Vanderbilt and Tennessee.
I mean, I think this is a close call because Tennessee is on a roll. They've won their first four SEC series for the first time since 1970,
yeah.
Okay? So we're going 50 years. We're going 51 years. I think Tim Corbin hit on it. Like, they have a special thing going, too. I mean, you can kind of compare them to the Preds if you want to. They've got a vibe going. They've got a confidence, a competitiveness. And at home, I think it's going to be a really good series. I have to go with the pitching matchups. I can't buy that Kamar Rocker is going to have another bad outing. He's had one all year last week. And Leiter, like, you know, he's going to have one at some point because everybody is human involved in the discussion, I think, other than Tom Brady.
Yeah.
But I've got to go with those two pitching matchups and a 2-1 series win for Vanderbilt.
I think it's bad news for Tennessee that Vanderbilt got beat the way they did against Georgia. Like, I think that is going to cause this team to lock in. I think Tennessee gets a bit of a reality check this weekend. Rocker and Leiter are outstanding. Give me Vanderbilt and make it my lock in this competition. I've got Vanderbilt winning the weekend series against the Volunteers. Ryan Porth / Elijah Campbell. Who do we have in this series?
And this, Ryan, let that one up to me.
Okay.
Dangerously enough. And I think
it's not basketball.
It's not basketball. So I had to double check.
That's true.
So that's tough. I wanted to pick the Vols so badly. But you know what? Vanderbilt, to me, is the rational decision here because of the pitching matchups, like Joe alluded to earlier.
Yep.
But Ryan needs my help to get back in this thing. So we're going to go with the base Vols.
I like it.
We're going to get him. We're going to get Ryan back in this thing.
The base Vols in the competition here between Vanderbilt and Tennessee. So that is the same portion that if we go through, make the same picks. Now the individual picks here in the competition on Weekend Winners. Joe Rexroad, we begin with you. Your first individual pick this weekend.
Okay, I have to ask a question first. Okay. I was not prepared for this. Giannis is back, right?
I think so.
I'm not sure if he's going to be back this weekend.
I need to look. Oh, is he not back already? Well, then no.
Shoot, it messes up my pick. All right.
Just
well,
do it.
Well, you know,
if you believe in the Bucs, you believe in them.
Well, first of all, like as always, and it didn't work for me well last week, but as always, I fear baseball and hockey in the betting realm. So I'm going. I'm all NBA again, you know, Warriors at Cavs tonight. Golden State -8. They rolled last night. But I actually think the Cavs are going to give them a better game than that. So give me the Cavs +8.
They don't have LeBron, reminder.
Yes, LeBron not playing for Cleveland.
Yes, thank
not
you.
Not anymore.
They do have Darius Garland.
They do.
I might remind you.
Okay. Ryan Poore / Elijah Campbell, the first round of the individual picks.
The first round of the individual picks, Ryan Poore has the Lightning 60-minute money line against the Panthers.
What?
Wait, huh?
What are we doing with money line? We're going to have to have a conversation.
We already have
Ryan
had
Poore.
The conversation.
I know.
And then he sneaks out and he tries to throw another money line at us.
We're going to make that a spread bet. He's not getting the money line.
Yeah, what's the spread?
It's
night
minus
is this?
1.5 tonight.
What night is this?
I assume tonight. For tonight.
It's tonight. It's minus 1.5
tonight.
And I know that because that's my pick. Lightning minus 1.5 against the Panthers. He's not getting the money line part of this. Put him down as the
He's
spread.
Laying up.
Yeah, I mean, this is ridiculous here.
I hope you're listening, Porth.
Yeah, the Lightning got crushed the other night by the Predators. They were very mad in their press conferences after. I think they respond in a big way tonight at home against the Florida Panthers. Give me the Lightning -1.5. Ryan Porth, we begin with you / Elijah Campbell for the second round of the individual picks.
Well, Ryan strays away from the 60-minute money line here and goes with the Oilers -1.5 at the COVID-stricken Vancouver Canucks.
All righty. So Oilers -1.5 against the Vancouver Canucks.
What night are we talking there?
That is tonight.
That's tonight, too. Okay.
Joe Rexroad, the second round of the individual picks. You remaining in the NBA? You're not taking a stand, taking a chance, going elsewhere. Who do you have?
I'm not, but gosh, see, this is kind of one of the problems too. Is like we don't have lines for some games. I'd like to, so I can't go money.
No, you can't. Right
now? All right. Well, Celtics at Lakers.
Okay.
Boston -6. Lakers, as we know, very banged up.
They are.
I'm going to go ahead and take the Celtics. Give the 6, and you can make that my lock.
Ooh. Joe Rex wrote some faith in the Celtics tonight. I'm also going with that game.
Ooh.
I'm going a different route, though. The over-under is at 212. Give me the over, baby. Life's too short to bet the under. Celtics and Lakers over 212. I like that. I feel confident about
it. We don't do the over-under enough.
I know. We need to utilize
that
a little
bit
more.
The money line too much if we're Ryan Poore.
The final round of individual picks. I'll start with this one. I'm going baseball. Give me the Atlanta Braves -1.5 today against the Miami Marlins. I think the Braves get it done. I think they have a big offensive explosion today. Acuña stays hot. The Braves -1.5. Joe Rexroad, your final individual pick.
Okay, just let me make sure I have this right. That's today, Braves -1.5 Marlins.
That's correct.
Yeah, just I'm trying to type, just struggling to keep up.
It's all good.
All right, I'm also going tonight. So I've got, we're going to know a lot about the outcome
tonight.
As you guys are off on your fun little weekend there, you're gonna feel good or bad about things. Kings Suns tonight. The Kings are not good. The Suns are terrific. But a 13-point line. I'm going to go with the Kings to cover that at Phoenix. So give me the Kings +13 at Phoenix.
It's a big number.
It's a big number.
Only the wisest of men have faith in the Sacramento Kings.
That's true. That is true. Elijah Campbell / Ryan Poore, the final individual pick in today's competition on Weekend Winners.
And this will also be Ryan Porth's lock, but he goes back to his favorite, the money line, where he is going to take the Atlanta Braves against the Marlins.
All right.
Same thought process as Robbie, but so, will not lay the 1.5.
And we're allowing this?
He's got a spread. It's the spread. We're not allowing money line picks.
Yeah.
We can make it
money
his lock.
Line when you have to do it.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. All this money line
we're
stuff.
We're betting against the spread.
Yeah, we're going to have a severe conversation with Ryan Poore.
This is like the second week I've gone in here filled for him that we've established that we need to have a severe sit down.
No, well, you know what?
With Ryan Poore.
We don't need to tell him anything. We don't need to talk to him. It's just we're just changing his
bet. Changing the rules right on the spot.
Okay, so it's Braves
-1.5 against the Marlins.
Same thing you had.
Yeah, but that's his lock.
And that's the lock.
He tried to go money line. Unbelievable.
Lock on the money line.
Jeez.
All right.
That is today's edition of Weekend Winners. We're going to have Hal Gill coming up next, Predators radio analyst. We'll look ahead to tonight's matchup between the Preds and the Hurricanes with him. Don't miss Nashville's best NFL draft coverage on Thursday, April 29th and Friday, April 30th on 102.5 The Game, presented by Founders Brewery, Apple Collision Centers, and MTGRT.com, your live and local mortgage expert. We'll be right back here on Robbie and Rex Road with Hal Gill. All that coming up next on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Elijah Campbell here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. The Predators taking on the Carolina Hurricanes tonight. Puck drop at 6 o'clock, pregame at 5 o'clock here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. And to help us talk more about that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Preds radio analyst Hal Gill, presented by Duncan, featuring their new location in Belle Meade, and TriStar Moving, TriStar Movers with five-star service. Skillsy, what's going on, brother? How are we doing?
I'm doing well, guys. Thanks for having me on.
We appreciate you joining us, Hal. Obviously, a demolition the other night by the Predators of the reigning Stanley Cup champion Tampa Bay Lightning, 7-2 the final score, and that was kind of an exclamation point on a run that's just been so much fun to watch as of late for the Predators, winners of 13 out of their last 16 games. What stood out to you, not only in the 7-2 win, but even in the loss against Tampa Bay as well, with the way this team played? And how much better should you feel if you're a Predators fan about that matchup in particular, if that ends up happening in the playoffs against Tampa Bay?
Well, I felt pretty good after the Saturday loss. I think that was one of the best games I've seen them play, and they just couldn't score on Vasilevsky. Then you fast forward to Tuesday's game, and man, I mean, talk about sniping. The guys were shooting and picking corners. I don't think it was as good as the Saturday game. I don't think they played as well, but they certainly got the results. So it's encouraging for me. I don't count them out. The way they're playing with the confidence that they're getting from the work ethic that they've established, I think you put those two together, and I don't count them out of any game against anyone.
What about, this particular match? I feel like in some of those games against Carolina, it just looked like a bad matchup, but I know it's also like you're comparing, that matchup to that former Preds team, I guess. But do you feel like the way the Preds are playing right now, it's sort of like matchup proof?
Well, yeah, I do. There's a couple ways you look at it. First of all, they're two different teams, right? I mean, the old Preds and the Preds that we're seeing right now, you're taking some big guns out of the lineup, and they really haven't – they've somehow gotten better. And it seems like, we lost Olivier. He was so important. And then Janot goes in, and, man, he looks good. It's hard to take him out of his spot. The D goes down, and Carrier comes in, and then Carrier's injured, and you're like – you never thought we'd miss Carrier, but now you look at the job that the defense are doing, and you're like, "Wow, those guys are pretty good." It's hard to take them out, and so you look at all the depth that they've had and the guys that have stepped up, and I think it's that mentality that they're playing as a team rather than who's in the lineup, and that's the encouraging spot. And that really is, if you get five guys on the ice that are working together, and you get good goaltending, you're going to have a chance to win. And that just gives these guys that are, you're seeing the skill come out of that, where Colton Sissons is sniping and Roman Josi is picking corners and Arvey is standing out all over the ice. It really stems from that team game. So I'm encouraged by it. It'll be interesting to see it tonight.
Hal, you brought up Arvidsson there, and obviously five goals in his last four games. He gets a hat trick against the Red Wings, two goals the other night against Tampa Bay. Is anything standing out to you in the way that he's playing right now, his speed game? Just does it feel like he's got his mojo back? What stands out to you about the way Arvidsson's playing right now?
Just tenacity. I think he's tenacious on pucks, and he keeps battling. I feel like Arvey, it's so hard because, maybe he had some injuries that he was dealing with, and so maybe he didn't have the jump, but Arvey came in the league and, I remember watching him in rookie camp and saying, what are we going to see out of this kid? Obviously, he's got a speed burst. when you start to settle into your game, you say, okay, I'm a playmaker. I'm going to make plays because he's a goal scorer and a playmaker, but it's all driven by his legs and his tenaciousness and the way he fights for pucks and the speed burst and the quick attack. And that hard work has to be there. And now he has the hard work. So I think that the talent just stands out, much like the rest of the team. If you work hard, your skill set rises up and looks even better. And so I think that's what you're seeing with Arvi, because he is putting in the work right now.
Yeah, I mean, I felt like last year, Hal, in particular, he seemed to be banged up, right? I mean, he seemed to not have the burst. He seemed to get the burst back in the bubble. And then I guess I was confused earlier this year because I didn't feel like he was like banged up like last year, but I guess there is an accumulation in this league, right, for some guys where over time it can wear on you. And I guess I was wondering about that with him, but this recent stretch sort of refuting that, right?
Yeah. Well, you know what? It's kind of funny. I was talking to a youth hockey coach, and we were talking about how you get kids to try hard. You know, like my 9-year-old son thinks he's trying as hard as he can. He has no idea how much harder he can try. And I think it seeps into everyone. You think you're working as hard as you can, and then all of a sudden you find another gear. And I feel like Arvi being injured was like, I'm working really hard to get back from injury. I was all hit. I feel like he thought he was working hard. Now you look at him and he's working hard with a purpose. And that's a lot of the team is doing that too. You look at that second line of Cunnin, Gromlund, and Yarncroke. I mean, they have battled. They are digging in, and you see the skill come out of it, but they're working on another level of hard work, and I think that's kind of trickled down through the team and maybe was set up by the Beast line digging in and you know, saying, hey, we might not have the skill, but we're going to battle, and coach playing them and saying, I'll put these guys out because they're going to work every shift. I think if you're on the bench, you look down and go, all right, I guess I can work a little harder. And I think that's paid off down through the lineup, including Arvi.
Preds radio analyst Hal Gill on the line with us, brought to you by TriStar Moving and by Duncan. And Hal, you brought up the Beast line, the Herd line, whatever name you want to use for it, with Olivier being a member of it originally, now Tanner Janot coming in there as well. Look, there's a lot of reasons I think you can point to of how this team has turned it around. How much credit do you give that line with Colton Sissons and Matthew Olivier and Yakov Trenin, now with Tanner Janot, in terms of setting the tone and setting, in some ways, I think, an identity for this group as a whole? How much credit do you give those guys for this turnaround?
A ton. I heard Lambert talking about it, and I think he's spot on. I know being on a bench and looking around and seeing the team struggle, and you're like, what are we doing? We can't find a way to win here. We need to get our act together, and it's hard to go through that. And you're like, how do we solve this? And then you look at that line jump over the boards, and the coaches love them, and the fans love them, and everyone's excited about these guys going out and just bashing bodies and giving everything they got. And, you know, in large part, they're doing that by necessity. You know, like they have to. In order to play in the NHL, they have to play that way. And they learn that. And I think, you know, if I'm on the bench, I'm looking out going, all right, like I said, if they're going to crunch it and they're going to get ice time, I better do the same thing. I better play like that, and I'll get my ice time. So I give them a lot more credit than most fourth lines would get.
Well, you talk about the impact on their team, their teammates. Well, what about the impact on the opponent? I mean, have you seen that? Do you feel like you're seeing opponents notice them and I guess be deterred from some things they might normally be doing?
Yeah, absolutely. And I look at Klingberg as a prime example, defenseman there for Dallas. More often than not, I'd see him go back with a puck, and usually a smooth skater, a great puck mover, was just chipping it around the boards. and I've been there, and I know what it feels like to have these guys come down. You know, no matter what you do, you're going to get hit. And so you say, I want to move this puck so I can defend myself and get my hands up and protect myself. And you move it a little bit sooner. And if you do that, you move it a little bit sooner. That means your partner or whoever you're passing to is got another guy coming at him, and he moves it. If he does get it, he moves it a little bit sooner as well. And that's where you're seeing that forecheck that they have. One guy going, two guys going, and then the third guy gets the turnover and they attack the net. That's how Janot scored that goal. It was two guys going, forcing a turnover, and then attacking the net. That's really, really hard to play against, and it's exhausting. And so you look at over a 60-minute game, it just, you've had enough of it. And I can see the defensemen changing their game, and it trickles through the lineup. You know, it gets your mindset that I got to move the puck quick, and you do that against all four lines, and then you see turnovers from everyone.
Preds radio analyst Hal Gill has been our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road, presented by Duncan, featuring their new location in Bellmead, and TriStar Moving, TriStar Movers with five-star service. Gilsey, great stuff as always, my friend. Appreciate you taking time to join us today.
Thanks for having me. Enjoy the game tonight, guys.
Hey, Hal, actually, can I get you on one thing real quick?
Yeah.
I mean, because I feel like we got to get your thoughts on Skyline Chili / chili dogs in general.
All right, yay or nay? I'm a big fan of chili in the right, it has to be in the right circumstance. Chili dogs even more so, you know, yes, if you're, yes. You know, that's not a date night thing, is it? You have to be with the boys, watching football, and then you can let her rip, you know, so to speak.
Yes, very well done.
We hadn't even gotten into that whole aspect of chili. That's a good point.
Very well done.
I'm all for that. But the only thing I will say is, people got to stop calling like a turkey chili.
Yes.
It's not chili. Chili is what it is. You know, if you want to call it a turkey soup, or a thick turkey thing, whatever it is, I don't care what it is, just stop calling it chili.
Thank you.
You're confusing me.
Yes, you're absolutely right.
Yeah.
I make a mean turkey chili, that's my too, only but thing. Hey.
That's right. Hal Gill, our guest, joins us every Thursday here at 9:30. Hal, appreciate you, man.
Thanks, Hal.
All right, thanks, guys.
Absolutely. When we come back, we'll react to a little bit of what Hal Gill had to say there. Also get to quite the tweet from Ian Rappaport of the NFL Network. All that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Preds fans, join 102.5 The Game on Wednesday from 6 to 7 p.m. for Smashville Live, featuring Preds players, former players, and other special guests. You can also watch the show online via 102.5 The Game's Twitch, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and thegamenashville.com. Smashville Live brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka, Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, and Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue. To view or listen to past shows, go to thegamenashville.com/Smashville Live. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Elijah Campbell here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee.
Troubling takes on my own text line here.
Okay.
Predators CEO and President Sean Henry. Coney's are so nasty, blasphemous creation on a hot dog.
Wow.
Now Sean Henry, honorary Detroiter. You know, he previously has worked with the Detroit Pistons organization.
Sure.
So we've kind of shared that, a little kinship there. And,
yes.
And then he just
an honorary
dumps all over Coney's. He was like, I'm quoting him again. I was so excited to try one as I was thinking that Coney Island, because, of course, Sean's a New Yorker, then a nasty cold hot dog smothered with beanless chili came. Those are Lafayette, Coney Island, and Detroit, Michigan. I'll sit there every day. And, yes, I will probably destroy my stomach within a month.
But
I'll sit there every day and enjoy the heck out of those. So a lot of takes on the chili and the hot dogs.
A lot of takes on the Coney's, too. Like, I'm going to have some this weekend at Skyline, and – look, I mean, Katie's saying it's not even a Coney. It's just, it's a contraption, I guess.
Right, like to Katie, yeah. Katie Rex, my wife, she like that's what a Coney is, what she loves, which, like we've done the long story, we don't have time for it, but the Lafayette and American Coney Island are right next to each other. It's like brothers who got in a fight,
yeah.
And one of them started the other one, and so people go and they eat both, and which one's better?
Yeah.
Lafayette's way better, by the way. But, they're awesome, and it hurts me. It hurts me in my heart.
Joe, we've got to get to this tweet by Ian Rappaport of the NFL Network.
This
is regarding Jadeveon Clowney and him signing with the Browns yesterday. We read off the terms earlier. It's essentially a one-year deal worth $8 million, and he's got $2 million worth of incentive. So it can get up to $10 million. Ian Rappaport saying, quote, last year, with Clowney uncertain, the Browns moved on and he signed with the Titans in September. This year, Clowney spent yesterday raving about joining a winner, and that means something. A huge difference from a year ago. What is he talking about? The Titans were a game away from the Super Bowl a year ago, and the Browns got beat in the divisional round. What is he talking about?
All right, now I got to read the tweet. And not that you're not good at reading tweets, but like something there didn't process in my brain.
This year, Clowney spent yesterday raving about joining a winner, and that means something. A huge difference from a year ago.
Notorious winners, Cleveland
yes,
Browns.
Yes, the Cleveland Browns, notorious winners here on the program.
Like, did Martell hack Rappaport's Twitter?
I don't know. What's
account?
He talking about?
The Browns moved on. He signed with the Titans in September. Okay. This year, I guess the huge difference would be in how he views the Browns. I guess you could read it that way. Because a year ago, the Browns.
He is not framing that tweet well, if that's what he means.
Yeah, I hope that's what he meant. Like, last year, the Browns came after him. He didn't. He held off, and then he eventually signed with the Titans. This year, he's all in on the Browns.
Yes.
I hope that's what he means. Because, if the huge difference is the franchises, then that's a dumb tweet. And that probably is a Martell hack.
Yes, probably at that point. So I wanted to get to that. Ian Rappaport, that is it's quite the take there.
Listen, Ian, I've also poorly typed tweets before. I hope that's the case here. Otherwise, it's really stupid.
That's right. Joe, have fun tomorrow. I will not be here. Ryan Porth gone as well. I believe Mark Howard's going to be joining.
Mark
Elijah
Howard.
Campbell?
I'll be in the
and
house.
You. Yeah. What a wacky trio we'll have tomorrow.
Awesome. I can't wait. So I'll be listening.
Well, listen now. I want video. I want pictures. I want I want at least a 2,000-word account when you guys get back Cincinnati.
We can do that.
So we're going to be looking for – when are you guys taking off?
Today, like 2:30.
You're okay. Yeah. So you will already be there. It starts the festivities start today.
That is correct. That does it for us today here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll be back 6 a.m. tomorrow. Darren Donica Chase is coming up next. This is ESPN 102.5 The Game.